Well, love you guys, and it's always just a blessing to be with you. And boy, thankful for the good things going on at church camp. That's wonderful. And the young man's going to be baptized. That's fantastic. I'm at the stage where I like air conditioning and a bathroom about 10 steps from my, down the hallway. So we're thankful for those that serve at camp. Do you know what it is like to lie awake at night in distress? To cry out to God, but comfort elude you? I do. Do you know what it's like to be hurting so deeply that you can barely speak? I do. Maybe you can relate to the words found in Psalm 77. Psalm 77. Now, this is attributed to Asaph. Here's what he writes. I cried out to God for help. I cried out to God to hear me. When I was in distress, I sought the Lord. At night, I stretched out my untiring hands. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered you, O God, and I groaned. I mused and my spirit grew faint. You kept my eyes from closing. I was too troubled to speak. I thought about the former days, the years of long ago. I remembered my songs in the night. My heart mused and my spirit inquired. Will the Lord reject forever? Will He never show His favor again? Has His unfailing love vanished forever? Has His promise failed for all time? Has God forgotten to be merciful? Has He in anger withheld His compassion? Yeah, I can relate to that. And you probably can too. At some point in your life, we live in a world with real problems and challenges, and just because we follow the Lord does not mean we are exempt from those challenges or those difficulties. Depression, financial struggles, family members that are caught in addiction. Children or grandchildren wrestling with their self-worth. Loneliness. Have I had anything yet? Children living in rebellion. Couples unable to have children. Serious health issues. Death of spouses or children or grandchildren. What do you do when you are in dark times? What do you do when you are in deep valleys? Because more than likely, you are either in one, or you're coming out of one, or you're going to be heading into one. Not all of life is lived on the mountaintop. Part of it is, and that's great. Fortunately, not all of life is lived in the valley either, and that's good. A lot of it's in between and going from mountain top to valley. So what do you do when you're in dark times? Do those times when you just want to cover your head and stay in bed? Or those times when you just want to get in the car and go as far away as you can? And you know, some people will say, now God is with you, and that's true. But you still hurt. And some people say, now God will get you through that. And that's true. But you still hurt. And sometimes as Christians, I think we try to scoot too quickly to the being okay. When there are just times when we need to sit in the valley for a few minutes and just hurt. It isn't really helpful to me when I'm in a pit of hurt for somebody to say, well, cheer up. That doesn't help me. Or let's say in a time of worry and somebody says, well, you shouldn't worry. Well, now, that hasn't helped me one bit. Not only am I worrying, now I'm feeling guilty. So thank you so much. Last year, I heard a song by a group called Mercy Me. And it's called Even If. I thought, man, that would make a great sermon because of the words that are in it. But I did not know when I heard it and when I thought it'd be a great sermon, I didn't know that the sermon was going to be for me. Last year, a couple of months ago, about 13 months ago, at Donaldson, we had a couple of dear Christians die. Some of our older members died. In addition to that, my longtime friend had died suddenly of a heart attack. And then on top of that, mine and daughter's granddaughter had been born 4 months premature. She weighed a pound. When you go to the restaurant, you see a jar of ketchup. That's how much she weighed. My daughter and son-in-law named her Canaan because of God's promises in the promised land. And she had a long road in front of her. She was born complete. 10 fingers, 10 toes, 2 ears, 2 eyes, everything. Hair. And I prayed for complete healing, just as you've prayed tonight. Just as I've prayed tonight with you for the ones here on your prayer list. God tells us to cast our cares on Him because He cares for us. And we have example of people praying for healing and those prayers being answered. That's a biblical thing. I pray on a regular basis for God to heal people, especially my loved ones. How about you? And so I prayed for my little granddaughter. And in my heart, I truly believed that she would live a long, normal, healthy life. Not that God owes me anything. God doesn't owe me anything. But I truly believed that she would live. And she did not. And this past weekend, last Saturday, marked 1 year since her death. She lived for 2 weeks. And the bulk of her existence was in a plastic dome with wires hooked up to her. Many of you have had great loss in your life. You've lost a spouse. You've lost a child or a grandchild. Some of you face uncertainty in the coming days. I don't know what you face. But in a group of this size, some of you are facing some uncertainty. My guess is that some of you are waiting for results, or a loved one is waiting for results from a test. What do you do? What do you do in those dark times? What do you do when you're deep in the valleys? Well, you do what faithful people have done for thousands of years. You keep your eyes on the Lord and you put one foot in front of the other. It's that simple and it's that difficult. You cry out to God, and you get out of bed. You pray to God, and you go to the store. You look to the Lord, and you go to church, even though it takes everything within you to sit down in that pew. You cry out to God to help you, and you cry out to God to hold you. And in the privacy of your house and or your car, you may cry out, God, I don't understand this. You may even say, you let me down. We prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed, and others prayed and prayed and prayed, and it still didn't come out. You've let me down, God. Or maybe, and when no one else is around, you said the very words that Jesus said on the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? Have you ever felt that way? Many have, if you're honest. So you relate to the words. When I read Psalm 77, here are some words that jump out at me. I'm reading from the New International Version. I cried out to God. I was in distress. At night I stretched out my untiring hands. Verse 2. My soul refused to be comforted. Look at this. Verse 3. I groaned. I mused. My spirit grew faint. Verse 4. You kept my eyes from closing. You ever had a sleepless night? Yep. Ever woken up in the night and couldn't go back to sleep? Yep. I was too troubled to speak. So somebody comes, Sister so-and-so, how you doing? And you eke it out. You eke out, okay. Fine. And you're not okay. And you're not fine. But you don't want to walk around crying the whole time. So you put on the smile and you put one foot in front of the other. We all know what that is. We understand it. So you hurt. But here's the thing. You still cry out to God. And that's the right thing. This psalmist was hurting in ways that he couldn't even completely express. He does a pretty good job of it. But he still cried out to God. And I think that's significant. Now, throughout the story of God and of people recorded in Scripture, you see all kinds of regular, everyday people, just like you and me, who encounter all kinds of difficulty and all kinds of trouble and all kinds of loss. But they still cling to God. Example after example in the Old Testament and the New Testament. I think of the widow that was in the temple courts when Mary and Joseph brought Jesus. I think of the old man Simeon there. I think of Hannah in the Old Testament, desperately wanting a child, crying out to God. I think of the Apostle Paul, who said, I've got a thorn in my flesh and I've asked God to take it away. And the answer was no. I think of Jesus saying, if it's possible, let this cross pass me. One of my favorite stories, and when I say story, I mean account. I don't mean like, let's read a Mother Goose story. I'm talking one of the true account stories in Scripture, is of three men that we know they're changed names, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We teach that as a children's story, but if you really stop and think about it, folks, most of the things in the Bible are rated PG or R. We're talking about they are brought before the king, Nebuchadnezzar, who has made an idol in his image over 90 feet tall. And the deal is, whenever the music sounds, that everybody in the province is supposed to bow down to that idol. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego do not do that, and people that are jealous of them tell it to the king. He calls them before him. He says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, is it true that you don't bow down to the image I've set up? Now, to his credit, he doesn't just go by hearsay. He asks them. That's a good sign of leadership. So he asks him, is it true? And he said, you know, I'm going to give you another chance. If it is true, I'm going to give you a chance to bow down and worship the image. But if you don't, then I'm going to have you thrown into this furnace, and it's going to be heated 7 times hotter. And how you do that, I don't know. But it's just figurative speech for we're going to crank it up full blast. And one of my favorite responses in all of Scripture is what these guys say to him. O king, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If you throw us into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us. Now let me ask you this. Do you believe that that's possible? I do. The God we serve is able to deliver us. And then they said, but even if he does not, even if he does not, we will not bow down and worship this idol. Even if. Now, we know the rest of the story. And so we're automatically, it loses some of its punch to us. But what if you did not know the end of that story? Man, you look at those guys and you go, that is an incredible statement of faith. Well, the truth is that you and I face a lot of things that we do not know the outcome of. 2 years ago this month, July has turned out to be some difficult months for me. 2 years ago this month, my same daughter was expecting a baby. They could tell by, isn't it amazing all the scans that they can tell now about children and stuff? They said, this baby has a hole in its heart. And that's a sign of an issue that's going to have to be dealt with. Come back in 2 weeks. We'll take another scan. We'll see what's going on. I shared that with the church. I said, guys, here's the deal. My unborn grandchild has a hole in its heart. Didn't know if it was a boy or a girl. Has a hole in its heart. And I want to ask y'all to pray for that little baby to be healed. And then I needed, for my own sake, to say, but even if God chooses not to heal him, we will honor and serve God. Well, you know what? They went back 2 weeks later and the doctor said, it's not there. It could be a calcium little spot that filled up on it. Could have been a glitch. And I say God healed my grandson. But even if he had not, I was prepared to do whatever we needed to do. And you are too. Even if we have to face extreme difficulty, even if our prayers are not answered the way that we want, we will keep our eyes on the Lord and we will put one foot in front of the other, even if the prayers are not answered like we want them. You're living testimony to that. You're here on a Wednesday night. And I would say that not one of us in this room has had everything in life go perfectly. We've been blessed in a lot of ways, but has everything in your life gone perfectly? Have you had any loss? Have you had any grief? Have you had any uncertainty? Oh yeah, Russ. I've had plenty. I know you have. But you're here. So, we honor His name. I don't know. And you don't either. When it comes time for me to die, will I be conscious? Will I be able to communicate? Will I be hit by a car? Will I drop suddenly of a heart attack? Will I die in my sleep? I don't know. But if I am able to speak in my last few moments, I would envision that I would tell my family I love them. And then I would hope that maybe the last word out of my mouth would be, Jesus. I don't know. Have no way of knowing. But we're going to honor Him till our dying breath, aren't we? We made that decision. And we intend to carry it out. So I'd like to share the words of the song, Even If. Now I thought about playing it, but it's kind of loud. And I didn't think that would go well. And then I thought I'd sing it, and I knew that wouldn't go well. And so I'm just going to read it. Besides, I'm at the stage where I'll hear songs on the radio, and I get the tune, but I can't get the words. I don't know if you're there yet or not. So here it is, Even If. And since we live in Music City, I'll tell you who wrote it, because it would be copyrighted. So, for this recording, written by Bart Marshall Millard, Benjamin Glover, Crystal Lewis, David Arthur Garcia, and Tim Timmons. Okay, there you go. Now we're legal. They say sometimes you win some, sometimes you lose some. And right now I'm losing bad. I've stood on this stage night after night, Sunday after Sunday, I would say, reminding the broken it'll be all right, but right now I just can't. It's easy to sing when there's nothing to bring me down. But what will I say when I'm held to the flame like I am right now? See, I think these writers know the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I think they know it well. I know you're able, and I know you can save through the fire with your mighty hand, but even if you don't, my hope is you alone. They say it only takes a little faith to move a mountain. Well, good thing. A little faith is all I have right now. But God, when you choose to leave mountains unmovable, oh, give me the strength to be able to sing, "It is well with my soul." I know you're able, and I know you can save through the fire with your mighty hand, but even if you don't, my hope is you alone. Boy, this one got me. These next few stanzas. I know the sorrow and I know the hurt would all go away if you just say the word. But even if you don't, my hope is you alone. You've been faithful, you've been good all my days. Jesus, I will cling to you come what may. I know you're able, I know you can save through the fire with your mighty hand, but even if you don't, my hope is you alone. I know the sorrow, I know the hurt would all go away if you would just say the word, but even if you don't, my hope is you alone. It is well with my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul. I told you when I heard that song last year, I thought, man, that'll preach right there. Preachers always looking for sermon illustration. We're looking for anything we can grab onto, you know. I didn't know it'd be for me. Last July 21st, I was heading to Arkansas to the hospital in the pre-dawn hours down I-40, trying desperately and praying that I would make it to the hospital before my granddaughter died. And I did not make it. My wife called to tell me that little Canaan had died. A few minutes later, guess what song came on the radio? Even If. I had to pull off the interstate. I held on long enough to get to an exit ramp. And I pulled over off the interstate. And I cried. And I prayed. But it wasn't a big, long, flowery prayer. Sometimes all I can pray is one word. Help. Sometimes I can only pray one word. God. I got out of my car and I walked around. I looked back toward Nashville. And the sun peeked over the horizon. Another day. Our world had stopped, but the planet kept turning. The sun came up. My life was impacted forever, as is anyone who's lost a loved one. You know, a lot of times God answers prayer in the very way we ask, and then some. Oh, I hope you've had that happen many times in life. I have. There have been times in my life where my prayers have not only been answered, they've been abundantly answered. I mean, man, it was just like Bible. More than you can ask or imagine. You've experienced that, surely. Those are great times, aren't they? The mountaintop, when you pray for something to happen, you go, yeah, wow, that's great. And then there are times when God answers prayer in a way we did not want. And in those times, I want to say it's okay to question. And I want to say it's okay to not understand. And I think that God's probably big enough to handle us even being mad at Him. You think? There are times when our kids were little when they would get so mad at us. Oh, and the most hurtful words. Mom, I hate you. Dad, I hate you. Oh, they have no idea the pain those words cause. And it stings. But you're big enough to know they'll get over it. I gotta go to bed and don't get ice cream. I hate you. I know, you'll get over it. But your love is big enough to deal with their lack of maturity. You know, sometimes faith is like a strong cable, you know, the kind that takes cable cars up mountains. I mean, it's a big multi-steel cable thing. And faith is like that. And you're strong. Man, you can take anything. And then there are times when faith is like a thin thread and you can barely hold on. But God is at the end of that cable, and He's also at the end of that thread. And God is faithful and will not forsake us. So what do you do when you pray and God does not answer in a way that you want? Well, you know, I can relate to the words of this psalmist. The first 9 verses, I cried out, I'm in distress, I can't sleep. Has God forgotten me? Has He rejected me? Have I done something wrong? And then we pick up with verse 10. Now, I want to hasten to say that I do not think that this psalm takes place in one night in the life of the psalmist. I don't think verses 10 and following came after 15 minutes of hurt. I've not experienced that most of the time in my life. When I hurt, it usually isn't for just 5 minutes. Now, when I was a kid and did wrong and got spanked, I'd sting for about 5, and I'd get over it. But emotional, spiritual hurt, mental hurt, that's usually longer than 5 minutes. Then I thought to this, I will appeal the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. I will meditate on all your works and consider all your mighty deeds. Your ways, O God, are holy. What God is so great as our God? You are the God who performs miracles, who displays your power among the peoples. With your mighty arm you redeemed your people, the descendants of Jacob and Joseph. And then he cites the major event in the life of all Israel. It is the major event foreshadowing Jesus, but as far as the Old Testament, before the coming of Jesus, what was the major event for the Israelites? It was the Exodus. It was deliverance from slavery. And they get right to the Red Sea, and there's nothing but sea in front of them. And then behind them, the army of the most powerful nation on earth. And what did God do? You've taught it in Sunday school. And then Moses held out his staff, and what happened? Come on, you saw the Charlton Heston movie. I know you did. What happened? The water parted, and the Israelites did what? Walked through it, and was it muddy? No, it was dry ground. All right, you know the story. Good for you, good for you. And they get on the other side, and then God closes it up. Well, this was a huge event, and foreshadowed Jesus, certainly. Man, deliverance and water and all that being pursued. I mean, it's the gospel being foretold. The waters saw you, O God. The waters saw you and writhed. The very depths were convulsed. The clouds poured down water. The skies resounded with thunder. Your arrows flashed back and forth. Your thunder was heard in the whirlwind. Your lightning lit up the world. The earth trembled and quaked. Your path led through the sea. Your way through the mighty waters, though your footprints were not seen. You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. Now what's interesting, folks, is the first six verses, there's a pronoun used over and over and over. I. And I understand that and relate to it very much. But then he comes to a point where he goes, you know what? If I keep focusing on myself, this is not going to get any better. I'm going to get deeper and deeper. And so then he says, I'm going to appeal to this. I'm going to turn to what? Verse 10. I will appeal to what? I will appeal to what? To God. And what does he say? To the head of God? To the leg of God? What does he say? To the which hand? All right. It doesn't just say to the hand. He says, I appeal to the right hand of God. What does right hand communicate in that culture? Power. Right hand, power, strength. Whenever we go over to my wife's parents, mom and dad, my dad's been dead for a long time, but when we go to Granny and Papa's, I try to sit by his right side. I go, I'm sitting by Papa's right side. What does that mean? I'm his right hand man. That's what that means. There's something about that right hand. And we even talk about the right hand of fellowship. And even today, when you shake hands, at least in our culture, which hand do you stick out? The right hand. I will appeal to the right hand of the Most High. I'm going to choose to remember, the psalmist says, I'm going to choose to remember the deeds of the Lord. And then he goes from just the Lord to a personal pronoun. You are. It's not just God. He's coming into talking about Him personally. You are. Miracles. I'll remember the deeds of the Lord. I'll meditate on your works. Consider your mighty deeds. Your ways, O God, are holy. And then he makes a statement in verse 14. And this verse was kind of a theme verse that my daughter and son-in-law had surrounding the birth and death of their daughter, my granddaughter. And I asked him about that a few weeks ago. Because in verse 14 it says, you are the God who performs miracles. And I asked him this question because I've really wrestled with it. I mean, I still have faith. I still believe in God. I've still been preaching. All that stuff. I still baptize people. I still do funerals. I still visit hospitals. All that stuff. I still do the same stuff this year that I did the years before. And I still have faith, and my faith is as strong as it's ever been. But I asked him, how can you hold to verse 14? You're the God who performs miracles because Canaan died. And I asked them while we were on the beach in Florida, remembering her birthday on July 7th, and then after that, the scattering of her ashes. And so I asked them this. I said, I don't mean to cause you trouble or difficulty. I just want to know, how can you say you are the God who performs miracles? They said, Dad, we think God did do miracles. How? They said, well, first of all, she lived. It's just 14 days. But she lived. By all accounts, she should not have even lived. And then she said, the outpouring of love from so many people is a working of God that has blessed our life. And I go, okay, I get it. Because the outpouring to them and to me and my wife and to our family, that's from God. So the psalmist goes from I, which is, I want to say, is okay. But you can only do that for so long, and it'll just kill you. And he said, you know what? I have got to just look to the Lord. I've just got to claim His promises and hold on to that right hand. Now, does that mean that if you follow God, that zippity-doo-dah, everything's going to be great? No. And when I was a youth minister and we'd have VBS, there was a little song I'd sing that I don't really sing anymore because I don't think it's right. And it's a cute little song and all. If you sing it, that's fine. It goes like this. It isn't any trouble just to smile. It isn't any trouble just to smile. If ever you're in trouble, it will vanish like a bubble. If you only take the trouble just to smile. Not true. It isn't any trouble just to pray, pray. It isn't any trouble just to pray, pray. If ever you're in trouble, it will vanish like a bubble. If you only pray, not true. In my life, have you found that to be true? Have you had extreme, horrific difficulty in your life and pray and then, wow, it vanished like a bubble. I went to bed heavy and downtrodden and I got up the next day and just life is great. Probably not. And I want to say, that's okay. Life is a process and a journey. Very rarely do you go to bed with a broken heart and wake up the next morning with the birds singing, the sun shining, and everything is zippity-doo-dah great. It usually is a process, isn't it? So as we close, two things. Hear the words of Jesus in John 16. Now, I believe that everything Jesus said was true. You may not, that's up to you. Here's what John recorded Jesus said. Jesus said, quote, I have told you these things, verse 33, so that in me you may have peace. In this world you have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world. I'm telling you that phrase, in this world you will have trouble, is about as spot on as anything Jesus said. I'm not negative on life. I love life. It is in many ways a wonderful world, but Jesus was spot on when he said, in this world you will have trouble. Would you agree with that? Have you had trouble in your life? Have you had difficulty? Have you had pain? I can tell by expressions you have, and some do. But in this world you will have trouble is not the end. He had two more sentences to say. But take heart. I have overcome the world. Okay. That is how I can have heart. That is how I can face tomorrow. Because Jesus has overcome the world. That's how I face it. That's how you face it. We face tomorrow, the Bill Gaither song said, because He lives. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, I have hope. Amen, Jesus, you're right. In this world, you do have trouble. And that was spoken from a man who himself had difficulty. Trouble. So despite uncertainty, despite hurt, despite loss, despite declining health, excuse me, even despite death, even if things do not go as we had hoped, if our faith is in Jesus, we can eventually say, it is well with my soul. Maybe not tonight. Maybe not next week. Maybe not next month. Maybe not even this year. But if we keep our eyes on Jesus and put one foot in front of the other with His help, we can eventually sing, it is well with my soul. In just a moment, we're going to sing that song. And you'll remember in the song, Even If, it says, even if you don't answer, give me the strength to sing, it's well with my soul. So that's what we're going to sing. It was written by a guy named Horatio Spafford, and it was written after traumatic events in his life. His 2-year-old son had died. He had had extreme financial loss due to the Great Chicago Fire. And he and his wife and his 4 daughters were going to go to Europe. Something came up at the last minute where he had to stay stateside, but his wife and daughters went ahead and got on the ship heading to Europe. It collided with another vessel and sank quickly. Only his wife survived. They lost all 4 daughters. I don't know, it must have been close to the European shore because she wound up on that side. I don't know if it was close there or if rescue vessels took them there. And remember, this is before cell phones and all that stuff. So now you've got to get message to him, and then he's got to get together. And then he writes this song when he gets close to the place in the ocean where his daughters had died. Now, when you know that, it helps you to understand the phrase, when sorrows like sea billows roll. Jim, if you can help us pass this out. When peace like a river is my lot, that's talking about a calm river, like the Harpeth or the Buffalo, probably not the Mississippi or the Cumberland when it's at flood stage. When peace like a river attends my way, God is with me. And even when sorrow hits me like a sea billow. You know, if you've experienced loss, you can be just rocking along and then all of a sudden out of nowhere, it's like a tidal wave just hits you with emotion and sadness or whatever. When peace like a river attends my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, you've taught me to say it as well with my soul. If you're in a pit right now, you may not be able to sing this. But I pray that the day will come when you can. Just keep your eyes on Jesus. And He'll pull you through it. When peace like a river attends my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, Thou hast taught me to say, it is well.
The trump shall
Blessed us. You've been with us on the mountaintop, every one. You've been with us in the valley, every one. You've been with us every step in between. It is so good and fun and enjoyable and rewarding when our prayers are answered in a way we like, and even abundantly so. It's a challenge and difficulty when they are answered in a way we did not want. In those times, Lord, help us to hold to You, even if we do not get the answer we'd like. Even if the mountain does not move, even if the healing does not come, our hope is in You. And so we appeal to the right hand of the Most High. We remember Your deeds throughout the centuries. We remember Your deeds not only in Scripture, but even in our lives. We remember that even in the darkest of storms that we've encountered, You've brought the sun back out again eventually. You've brought us through enough cycles of life, that we know that if we hold to You, it's going to be okay. You led the people through the sea, and many times You lead us through the suffering, but You're right there with us. May our lives be a testimony for You, Lord. And may we, until our dying breath, proclaim our faith in You and our love for You in response to all that You have done for us. You do not owe us anything. We owe You everything. And we are thankful for all that You've done and for the salvation we have, the confidence that we have in Your Word and Your Son, the promise of eternal life. We cling to that, and it helps put everything in perspective. You are the God who delivers. And ultimately, we can truly sing, it is well with my soul. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much. Thank you.